I've heard it said, you steer where you stare. We are bombarded daily with voices vying for our attention. And if we fill our days and minds with Netflix and social media feeds, we can get off track pretty quick. That's why I developed a 30-day music challenge. Listen to Christian music exclusively for 30 days. The challenge is free, and I'll be right there with you every step of the way. Head over to michellenezat.com/30-day-challenge to sign up. Change your music, change your life. You're listening to More Than a Song, episode 138. Hello, and welcome to this episode of More Than a Song. My name is Michelle Nezat, and this is the podcast dedicated to helping you discover the truth of Scripture hidden in today's popular Christian music. My goal is to teach you to connect portions of God's Word with the songs you're singing along with on the radio, to help you meditate on truths that will transform your way of thinking and ultimately your life. It has been so difficult for me to get my thoughts together this week. To be honest with you, I really love it when God just seems to drop in my spirit exactly which direction to go and what to say. It makes it thrilling and enjoyable and inspiring. And I also love it when he gives me something so profound with such insight and revelation that I know I don't have on my own that I can't wait to run to the keyboard and start recording my thoughts to share with you. That did not happen this week. And after struggling through all week, I've come to the conclusion that it's okay. You see, there are a few elements at work on the podcast each week. First of all, I try to use music that is currently playing on the radio because these songs are familiar to you and you may actually already be humming them in the shower. And this is both a gift and a restriction. The gift is that I can just go to the Billboard charts or take a snapshot of songs that I'm listening to on the radio myself and add them to my list. And of course, I like to take requests from you. Several of you have sent your requests in. Of course, it's a restriction too, because I know there's really great music out there with beautiful scriptural lyrics that I could use. And then again, I'm a big girl and I can put whatever song on the podcast that I want to, right? Hashtag the struggle is real. Now, the other element is that my main goal is to inspire you to read the Bible for yourself. And I like trying to spend time in both Old and New Testaments. I love finding hidden gems to share with you. I am delighted when God reveals kind of a new view of a familiar story, and I've been able to do that a few times. My main approach is expository. That's just a fancy word that says that you can explain or expose what a section of scripture is saying, you know, meaning that the song will inspire me to locate a verse or an idea, and then we just look at a large section of scripture in context, and I explain or expose, again, the root of expository, what it's saying. And when I start to do too many topical podcasts, I always feel drawn back to that expository approach. That's definitely the approach that I take the most often. But then I was reading a book on communicating this week, and the author suggested that the goal of exposure to God's word is heart and life change. In other words, just reading it and knowing more about it is not enough. And I am firmly rooted in the idea that if you read God's word, the Holy Spirit can do the rest. He doesn't need me. I believe in the power of the truth that is revealed in God's word. But I also know the joy of personally receiving aha moments from others. I mean, that's why I enjoy listening to sermons on Sunday morning and attending conferences and listening to Bible teachers. So I sit here with a great song this week, Great Are You Lord, as sung by One Sonic Society. It's a song that we sang at a conference I recently attended. We've sung it in church. I hear it on the radio, and I love incorporating a good worship song every once in a while on the podcast. And again, it's playing on the radio, and then I want to explore this topic of the breath of God, but also wanting to expose you to a good chunk of scripture for you to be inspired by. But all I can do is think about this one amazing line in the lyrics. It says, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. I promise I'm going to try to tie all of these seemingly random thoughts together. But first, let's listen. It's your breath in our lungs, so we
It's your breath in our love,
So as I struggled where to go, I realized that it's okay, because I know that you struggle with where to go in scripture as well. And for me, because I'm committed to you every Monday to produce a new podcast, I push through and I end up reading a whole bunch of scripture that I never use on the podcast. But of course, I'm better for it. So sometimes I just wish you would start a podcast or a blog or lead a class so that you too can be accountable to others, because it's really motivating to immerse yourself in God's word when you have that. Now, because of this, I did explore all week. I ended up in Genesis and Acts and Psalms. The more I read, the less sure I was of what God wanted me to say. And then he reminded me where I started on this podcast, meditating. You know, my tagline, if you look at my blog, is inspiring others to discover and meditate on God's word. But as I considered meditating, I realized it's something different or deeper, really. It's not just meditating on the words of scripture. It's meditating on truth. Let me try to explain. I'm going to explain using our song. So Genesis chapter 2 teaches us this. In verse 7, it says, "The Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." So one way we can meditate on this scripture, again, is to read and reread it. You can speak it aloud. You can sing it. You can write it out. You can even memorize it. And on the one hand, we can learn some very academic things by meditating on this scripture that will change how we approach life and knowledge and information as we read and have conversations with people and watch the news. And when we view life through the lens of scripture, we have a biblical worldview. Let's consider the opposite. Picture putting on glasses that are tinted orange so that everything you see will be tinted orange. But while orange-colored glasses, they distort the true color of what you're looking at. So you could be looking at a blue sky and it's going to be tinted orange. A biblical worldview on the opposing side is grounded in truth and should illuminate everything you see. A biblical worldview will help you sort through anything false that you may run across. So if you read in a textbook, as we all have, I'm sure if you are an American, at least, Western textbooks say that the human race evolved from an amoeba into an ape into man. And you can immediately identify that as false because you're looking through a biblical worldview lens. The Bible clearly teaches here, just one verse, that God himself formed man from the dust of the ground. And what made man a living being is the very breath of God himself. Now, that's something to really think about, which is where I'm going to bring back in the thoughts I began with and try to make sense of everything I've said so far today. I don't take time to think much. I'm a learner, and that's actually one of my strengths when I took this Strengths Finder test. And this means that I like to learn whether I can apply it or not. I just like to learn new things. It means that I like to read a lot. And I like to take online courses. Just ask my husband, who sees the charges on our credit card bill from time to time. Thanks, honey. Anyway, I collect information like some women collect shoes. But I'm a collector of knowledge. You know, sometimes I take the time to apply it. But most of the time, I'm on to the next podcast, on to the next blog post, on to the next course, and the next idea. So what God was trying to teach me this week, and what I now pass on to you, is that it's okay and necessary to slow down and really ponder something. Because often what we do not need is more information, but rather more insight into the information we already have available to us. I don't know if you've noticed, but life is rarely cut and dry. You know, many things happen in a day that do not have a direct scripture reference that we can pull out. But direct scripture reference or not, we can pull out truths that we've learned from scripture and look at the situation through the lens of this biblical worldview that we're building brick by brick every time we read the truth of scripture. And with that insight, then make a decision on how to respond. So let's look back at our song. The truth is, we are made in His image. And I have a scripture reference, Genesis 1:27. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And then if we go on from that, so the truth is that we are made in His image. And it's His breath in our lungs. I already read it to you, Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now, these truths should now shape how we view the life of a human being. Because the truth is, cows were not made in the image of God. In fact, if you read all of Genesis chapter 1 and 2, see, I can't help myself. You see that God spoke cows into existence. Genesis 1:24 says, then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. They are still living creatures. It said so right there. But He did not form them. He spoke them. He did not say they were made in His image, and He did not breathe breath into their nostrils. So here, just thinking about these scriptures a little bit deeper, we see the significance of man implied here. Now, we are not significant because God needed us. We are significant because God wanted us. It pleased Him to create man for His glory. I am making my way slowly through a systematic theology book, and systematic theology is just, you know, the system of belief, what we believe. And so it's kind of a thick book, but not too hard to understand. But it said it like this: when we first realize that God did not need to create us and does not need us for anything, we could conclude that our lives are of no importance at all. But scripture tells us that we were created to glorify God, indicating that we are important to God Himself. This is the final definition of genuine importance or significance to our lives. If we are truly important to God for all eternity, then what greater measure of importance or significance could we want? So what does this have to do with magnifying the truth found in a song that is entitled Great Are You Lord? You know, it's not entitled Great Are You Man. Well, I think it's because we lose sight of our own significance and the significance of the truths that we've just been discussing. And when I really pondered this thought that it's God's breath in my lungs, and therefore I should pour out my praise, therefore I should bring forth the glory of God, the glory that God desires and deserves with the very breath that He gave me. When I really ponder this and analyze and examine this thought, I ask myself some questions. Well, one, really, what have I been pouring out with the breath that God gave me? You know, I'm really good at pouring out complaints, and I pour out expectations on my kids and my husband, and I pour out my own concerns to God. I pour out my sorrows with the breath that He has given me. On a good day, I pour out encouragement to others. I'm trying to train myself to pour out thanksgiving with a heart of gratitude, and I do. I pour out my praise to Him, but have I missed something as I go along? And then I remember that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And even though I am made alive with the very breath of God Himself, what am I pouring into my heart that I will exhale in my life? It takes breath to speak. But when God speaks, He creates things. How often do I destroy things when I speak? All of these things are just going through my mind this week. I couldn't capture them. I couldn't put them in a cage in a way that I felt like I was trying to be profound or explain this to you. So what can we do with this fresh biblical worldview, this fresh view, that this reminder that the very breath that we have is the breath of God in our lungs, this idea that we're made in the image of God? What amazing opportunities might God give us when we really get it? when we don't just have an academic understanding of the truth of Scripture, but when it gets down deep in us, when we really consider the weight of the understanding that God's very breath is what makes us alive. Well, I want to bring us to an example in the life of Paul. I told you I couldn't help myself. A topic is good, but a story to illustrate the topic, I just can't help it. So let's head over to Acts chapter 17 real quick. Paul is in Athens and he's waiting for Silas and Timothy to join him, but he couldn't stand it. He couldn't just sit and wait. In fact, listen to how Scripture describes it. Now, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him as he was observing the city full of idols. So he was reasoning in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be present. And also some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers were conversing with him. Some were saying, "What would this idle babbler wish to say?" Others, "He seems to be a proclaimer of strange deities because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and they brought him to the Areopagus saying, "May we know what this new teaching is which you are proclaiming, for you are bringing some strange things to our ears. So we want to know what these things mean." Then Luke puts in this parenthetical statement. "Now all the Athenians and the strangers visiting there were used to spending their time in nothing other than telling or hearing something new." I love that last part. I can relate to that. Like I already told you, I like learning. And I guess these folks did too, because Luke described them as people who spent their time only in telling or hearing something new. So here Paul is, not just in the synagogue, but in the public square to talk about something new to anyone who was willing to listen. And then comes this amazing 9-verse sermon. So Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and all things in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, 'For we also are his children.' Being then the children of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and thought of man. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead." Now, I love this because Paul capitalized on their own realization that perhaps they had missed a God somewhere. So they had an altar to an unknown God. Now, were they, the people who worshiped at this altar to an unknown God, really worshiping Yahweh, the one true God at that altar? I imagine not, but Paul wove their current practices to point to Father God. Now, the reason I brought us here is because Paul talks about the breath of God. Did you hear it when I read it? It says, "Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things." In fact, Paul ends up quoting their own poets more than he quotes Scripture here. Now, he could have quoted from the Ten Commandments and said that God forbids the worship of idols, but instead, Paul declared a biblical worldview in a thoughtful way that challenged their worldview, all the while leaving out chapter and verse. Yes, in fact, this very sermon, we gain a new way to say and understand the truths that we've already been looking at today and uncovered in Genesis. Paul says here, in him we live and move and have our being. His breath has made us alive. So what does that mean to you? Will you take time to consider it this week? I feel like I've failed you. I feel like I've been unable to properly explain all that I've been thinking about this week, but maybe that's the point, right? Maybe the point this week isn't for you to understand what God has said to me, but really meditate on this truth and see what God might be saying to you. So I'm sure you figured it out, but this week's bite is to meditate on scripture. Now, I give you Bible interaction tool exercises, B-I-T-E, bites, every week to help you interact with God's word in new ways. So what if you took a bite out of Genesis 2, a little bitty bite, just in verse 7, and considered this idea that God's own breath is in our lungs and is what has caused us to be alive? What if you think about this? Roll it around in your mind for a whole week. Listen to the song and sing it out to God. And while you're at it, breathe out praise to God who deserves our praise. So what's next? Well, I give you permission to stay in one verse this week. Genesis 2:7 tells us that God himself placed his breath in our lungs. What is the significance of this? Each day this week, stop at least once and consider your breath and ponder the idea that it came from God. Analyze what you're breathing out. Maybe write it down even. Use the song to incorporate breathing out worship to God. It's a good one. And if you need more, read our story in Acts chapter 17 or read Psalm 145, Psalm 96, or Psalm 48. And they all recognize that God, or in through the words in these Psalms, it brings recognition that God is worthy of our praise. And then while you're in God's Word this week, let me know how you're doing. Email me, michelle@michelleneedsthat.com. You can hop on Twitter or Facebook, and we can talk about what you're learning. Now, before I tell you what song will be featured next week, I want to shout out to Olivia from somewhere in the U.S., Holly from Washington, Stephanie from Tennessee, Mary from somewhere in the U.S., and Steph from the Philippines. These are my newest subscribers to my website. Welcome. Now, the benefit of subscribing is that I will email you once a week, and in that email, you will get a memory verse resource to display on your smartphone, your tablet, your desktop, or you can print it out. And you get an email recap of the week's episode, and you get instant access to any of the resources I create for my episodes from time to time. And all of that is just my way to say thank you for listening. So head over to michelleneedsthat.com to subscribe today. And then don't miss out on an episode. You can subscribe to my podcast in iTunes. And if you have an Android phone, you can do that on Stitcher Radio. But while you're there, would you leave me a written review and a star rating? I would really appreciate it. It not only encourages me, but it helps me stay visible to new listeners. And as always, if you take the time to review my podcast, I will take the time to personally thank you right here on the podcast. Well, that's it for this episode of More Than a Song. Next week, I will use the song Son of David by Ghost Ship. If you liked this episode, would you mind sharing it with others? I've made it really easy. With just one click, you can share via Facebook, Twitter, or email. Just head over to michelleneedsthat.com/138. While you're there, I'd love to hear from you. Click on comment to join the conversation. Until next time, take time to meditate on God's word and consider his ways.